We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
I'm former Major League pitcher Andy Pettit. I teamed up with Tunnel to Towers after seeing their life-changing work with military and first responder families. Now we're expanding our mission to help veterans struggling with homelessness. We want to help them rebuild their lives not only by giving them a home, but by providing the services they need. Please join me in donating at T2T.org.
My name is Wally Joyner. I was a first baseman for the Angels, Padres, Royals, and Braves. I give the Tunnel to Towers because of what they provide for the veterans, the military, the first responders, the police, the firemen who go out and put their lives in danger for our freedoms. I think it's an incredible charity, an incredible foundation. Their goals of helping the families that protect us. I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation is committed to delivering mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families with young children. Never forget.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program as we begin another week covering the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style, right here from Las Vegas, Nevada, your gaming capital, at the South Point Studios, streaming on YouTube at the South Point Studios at South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard. We welcome you to the show today and all of our listeners here locally on our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, that has the play-by-play, exclusive play-by-play of both the USC Trojans football and the Rams football in the NFL each and every weekend during the meet, during their season as well. And we welcome all of those others who are listening to us and all the streaming that we have, platforms like our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas, .world, .global, iPhone and Android covered with the apps, the KSHP app to listen to us through the radio station and the YouTube app, of course, to see and listen to us on the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. And, of course, anywhere else you get your podcasting, we welcome you to the show. Well, you know, Las Vegas has a whole bunch of big, beautiful resort complexes on the Strip, etc. But there is one less today. At 2:30 this morning, they dropped the Tropicana into nothing but a big cloud of dust. Implosions for the Tropicana two towers went down this morning around 2:30 here in Las Vegas, making way for, of course, the big new multi-billion dollar baseball stadiums for what will be the Las Vegas Major League Baseball team, now known as the Oakland Athletics. And that'll be in a couple of years after they build the big stadium, after they take away all the debris that the dust caused at 2:30 this morning. But it was really something because, you know, the start of the Strip, and you know it by all of the movies that were made about it at the time, the Tropicana and the Stardust were the two real big, high-profile, and the Sands and the Dunes. Those four were the big, high-profile casino operations here in Las Vegas at the very root of what made it as famous as it is now. So watching the Tropicana drop after the Sands is gone, after the Dunes is gone, and after the Stardust is gone, the Tropicana was the last one, and it bit the dust at 2:30 this morning here in Las Vegas. The weather here in Vegas today, 71 degrees right now outside. It's going to be 99. We finally got under 100 degrees. Going to be 99 today here in Las Vegas, and it looks like we're going to not get 100 degrees for the rest of the foreseeable future, and by goodness, you know, with it being, as late as it is right now in October, hopefully it's going to be the last of the 100-degree weathers that we saw a couple of days ago. And because, after all, it's only 23 days, 4 hours, 36 minutes, and 25 seconds and counting until the Breeders' Cup. And you know that's the Fall Championship Classic. So that's the weather it's going to be like here. Of course, we are all concerned, I mean immensely concerned, about the Hurricane Milton that is about to strike the state of Florida. It's a Category 5 hurricane right now, and it is expected to do catastrophic damage. They're using the words like catastrophic, unbelievable, etc. They really are. And our thoughts and prayers go out to these folks there, and especially after the devastation that happened just about 10 days, a couple of weeks ago with Helene. So we'll wait and see about as far as any of the racing going on in Florida, as far as Gulfstream Park is concerned. But they're going to get hit hard, and it's coming. And so, just think about them. That's for sure. It's awful, as far as the weather is concerned. There, the rest of the country is going to be great. The rest of the country is clear sailing, and as far as horse racing is concerned, I guess today makes the carryover at Keeneland makes this an instant horse player holiday by virtue of Race Day Las Vegas. Whenever there's a big carryover in a pick six, pick five, or pick four, we deem it an instant horse player holiday. And today is such a thing because at Keeneland on Sunday, the early pick five winning prices were as followed: $47.38, $11.62, then $101.90. These are all for $2 win bets now. Then it came $8.54, and then it capped it off in the fifth race, the last race in the early pick five, at $21.62. Nobody had it. They couldn't put it together. So the early pick five, the 50-cent early pick five carryover today at Keeneland, stands at $265,934. And yep, that makes this an instant horse player holiday. And of course, our handicappers, Jonathan Ardoon, Rich Ng, and John Lindo, all have sheets for today at Keeneland. We'll get their suggestions and picks at Keeneland later on in the card. And of course, we'll have Jerry Jackowitz along with us to give us his thoughts about another way of playing and gambling. That's for sure. By the way, Keeneland on Sunday had two Breeders' Cup win-in-your-in races. Sunday, there were three win-in-your-in races for the Breeders' Cup left here in America. Of the 15 that were left going into the week and the weekend, and at Keeneland, the Spencer, Was a Breeders' Cup winning to run for the Phillies and Mares, the older Phillies and Mares there. Idiomatic won easily. Owned by Judd Bunt, trained by Brad Cox, ridden by Florent Garou. Idiomatic disposed of her competition easily and paid $2.64 as the filthy prohibitive favorite in that one, outrunning Occult and Candied. And then in the 10th race, the Bourbon Stakes, also a Breeders' Cup winning run there. The winner there was Minaret Station, trained by William Walden, and driven by Christian Torres, won in a big upset and paid $78.88. That's in the Bourbon. Minaret Station came from way out of it. I mean, you got to watch the replay. This horse just came, looked like dropped out of the clouds and got up in time. $78.88 for the upset win in the Bourbon. Golden Afternoon was second. Clock Tower was third. So those two were the Breeders' Cup winning your in races contested on Sunday at Keeneland. And again, big, big pick five, early pick five carryover at Keeneland going into today. Aqueduct had the rescheduled Miss Grillo as it was the last Breeders' Cup winning or in race of the weekend. The Miss Grillo for two-year-old fillies on the turf was won by Cynthian. Cynthian trained by Belmont, ridden by Junior Alvarado, paid $24.20. That horse was a star horse on Jerry's J sheet, yet paid $24.20 for the win. Virgin Colada was second. Coretta was third in that race. And that was the final of the Breeders' Cup winning the Rin races here in America, the Miss Grillo, on Sunday at Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct, of course. Chad Brown had a couple of winners on the day. Trainer William Morey, who used to be in Northern California, is training horses now in Belmont. He had a winner of the first race, his first race, Epileptic, won and paid $9.20 there. And at Santa Anita on Sunday, a couple of nice stakes races. The Surfer Girl, won by Thought Process, Hector Barrios aboard, $2.40 is the big prohibitive favorite there. Trained by Phil D'Amato, outrunning Kazalu and Tigerish, who finished third. And in the Zuma Beach, the winner there was Iron Man Cal after a disqualification. Finished Artist Lass, Iron Man Cal, and Sabretooth, it was Artist Lass, Iron Man Cal, and Sabretooth. But there was an inquiry, and the first place finisher, Artist Lass, was disqualified from first and placed third for interference. The new order of finish was Iron Man Cal winning it officially. Sabretooth was second, Artist Lass was third. That winner, Iron Man Cal, ridden by Antonio Freysou, paid $4.60 and was trained by Phil D'Amato. So Phil D'Amato won both stakes races for the two-year-olds on the turf Sunday at Santa Anita. Finally, at Hawthorne Racecourse, they did run the Hawthorne Derby, and the Hawthorne Derby was won by Arxarban Derby. The name of the horse, Arxarban Derby. Axel Concepcion aboard for John Ortiz, paying $20.40, outrunning Higgins Boat and Oscar Season there at Hawthorne. You got to look at it. That was the start of the late pick four at Hawthorne, $20.40. Then you had a $59.80, a $3 even winner, and the last race winner paid $176.20 for a $2 win bet. The 50-cent pick four at Hawthorne on Sunday, that pick four paid $22,962.40. All righty, taking a look at some news around the country as far as horse racing is concerned. Looking on Saturday, this coming Saturday is the day where they have all of those big state-bred stakes races around the country while we wait now for the Breeders' Cup and the Breeders' Cup entries and the Breeders' Cup races. On Saturday, there'll be two of them. At Charlestown, they'll have the West Virginia-bred stakes races, nine of those stakes races headed up by the West Virginia Classic. And at Laurel Park, they'll hold the Maryland Million, all the Maryland-bred stakes races, 12 of those, and the Maryland Million Classic will be the headline there. The Maryland Million was an original idea by Jim McKay, who was, of course, a sports and covered horse racing for ABC Sports. Jim McKay thought of the idea based on the Breeders' Cup. He thought it would be good to have a state-bred version of it. And the Maryland Million was the first of its kind to do that. And now you have them all over the country, the New York breds, the Virginia breds, the Cal breds, etc. Jim McKay, the father of that thought of the class state bred stakes races, and that'll be this weekend, the West Virginia breds and the Maryland breds there. And as far as any other news is concerned for the Breeders' Cup, it looks like Chad Brown is going to be loaded for the Breeders' Cup. He's got about as many as 10 horses going into the Breeders' Cup off of nice either victories or performances in their Breeders' Cup prep races. So you better watch out for Chad Brown. As far as the weekend is concerned, the 15 Breeders' Cup winners are Mentee, who won the Futurity at Belmont at Aqueduct, Federal Judge, who won the Phoenix at Keeneland, Mayday Ready, who won the Jasmine at Keeneland, Immersive, that won the Alcibiades at Keeneland, Zeitless, who won the Thoroughbred Club of America at Keeneland, East Avenue winning the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland, Carl Speckler, the winner of the Turf Mile at Keeneland, Scottish Lassie, the winner of the Frisette at Belmont at Aqueduct, Chance McPatrick, winner of the Champagne at Belmont at Aqueduct, Non-Compliant, the Oakleaf winner at Santa Anita, Hang the Moon, winning the Rodeo Drive at Santa Anita, and Citizen Bull, winning the American Pharoah at Santa Anita. And, of course, on Sunday, you had Idiomatic winning the Spinster, Minaret Station winning the Bourbon, and Cynthia winning the Miss Grillo. The final winners of the Breeders' Cup winning your in races, now all final and ready to go. Now we're just waiting for the Breeders' Cup entries, and then, of course, the declared horses that are going in the Breeders' Cup, and then the actual entries and post positions. As far as the Breeders' Cup is concerned, Breeders' Cup ranking for this week. The Breeders' Cup ranking for this week. The Breeders' Cup Classic rankings are Newgate 10, Tappet Trice 9, Arthur's Ride 8, Shibo Tesoro is 7th, Subsan Nador is 6th, Highland Falls is 5th, Sierra Leone rated 4th, Forever Young, the other Japanese horse, is rated 3rd, City of Troy, the big horse coming from Europe, is 2nd, and Fierceness stays number 1. Classic rankings. That is of this week. As far as the highest buyer figures concerned over the weekend, there were only 4 horses that broke 100 in the higher buyers. Carl Speckler in the Turf Mile and Idiomatic in the Spinster both got 102 buyer rating. And Patches O'Houlihan, who won the Neartic at Woodbine, got 100. But the highest buyer figure of the weekend of all the horses, Federal Judge, winning the Phoenix at Keeneland, got a 106 buyer. Wow. All righty. Well, we're going to get started with, of course, our handicappers, Jonathan Ardoon, Rich Eng, John Lindo, and Jerry J. And, of course, we'll have more on the Breeders' Cup, et cetera, with those. But they're going to give us some horses today at Keeneland because we're looking at that early pick 5. Definitely play there. One final note, congratulations to Paco Lopez. Paco Lopez got his 4,000th career win on Governor Sam in the Indian Summer Stakes on Sunday at Keeneland. I do believe that was Keeneland. In any case, he got it in the Indian Summer. Paco Lopez getting 4,000 career victories. All right, enough said about all that good stuff. We got more to happen here. So we'll take our first break. When we come back, your racing menu, and then our handicappers. So don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes 2 XD extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. voted best of Las Vegas. It's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Quickly, I want to remind everybody that there was one more 100 buyer that went over 100, and that was, I wanted to make sure I got that in. Gina Romanica won the First Lady. It was a non-Breeders' Cup winning your Ren race, but Gina Romanica got a 103 buyer for winning the First Lady over the weekend as well. All right, time to get to your racing menu. As we say, all the weather is concentrated on looking at Milton down there in Florida. In the meantime, most of the rest of the country is in great shape. Miami is 86 degrees. Tampa is 78 before the hurricane hits, because the storm's going to go right through that part, the middle part of the peninsula of Florida. New York City, 69. Chicago, 71. Los Angeles, 86. And Phoenix, Arizona is still over 100 degrees. 105 there, the hottest spot in the nation. Vegas, of course, as I say, will top off today at 99 degrees. All right, here's the racing menu of racetracks available today in the racebooks, reminding you, as we always do, first post time to broadcast on the show each and every day. Reflect that at the Pacific time zone, because we are in the Pacific time zone here at the South Point, where the folks say here in the racebook, these will be the first post times that roll in our racebooks today. If you're listening on the many different platforms that we have around the country, around the world, and you're not in the Pacific time zone, adjust to it from wherever you're at so you don't miss anything, like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here's the menu for today. We begin with Delaware Park. Delaware Park has the first post time of 9:30, 9:30 at Delaware Park. They got a pick five carryover today. Not a jackpot, just a regular pick five carryover at Delaware Park, $6,543. Next up comes Parks Racing. Parks Racing's pick five jackpot carryover, $17,052. First post time is at 9:40. Then we get to Keeneland. Big day today at Keeneland. Keeneland Racecourse, first post time is 10 a.m. The early pick five at Keeneland is the carryover. Okay, it goes into the early pick five. That's a 10 a.m. first post time there. That $265,935 in the carryover in the early pick five today at Keeneland for the first post time of 10 a.m. Pacific time. After that, we got Finger Lakes. First post time is 10:15 at Finger Lakes. Following that comes Horseshoe Indianapolis. Horseshoe Indianapolis has a first post time of 11:10. And then we have Presque Isle Downs. They'll begin their racing. First post at Presque Isle at noon. And then we wrap it up with Remington Park. Remington Park's first post time is at 4:30. And that's your racing menu for today. All right, time to go out to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Doing fine, my man. It's the weather's getting nice out here. My thoughts just keep going to those folks in Florida, where the people that are predicting the weather there are using words like catastrophic and.
What do you mean? The mayor said, "Get out of town, or you're going to die." I mean, I never heard a mayor make a statement like that. This is obviously going to be really, really bad. And they're coming off of a hurricane that just hit close to it or went through part of it. I mean, Certainly. How much could people endure? It's just terrible. Really sad.
There's no question about that. That, you know, it's just something that, you know, you think about and you say to yourself, how would you feel if it was happening here? You know, and it was just unbelievable. But our thoughts and prayers go out to those folks, and we'll hang in there and wait for that. Anyhow, Breeders' Cup. I want to talk about Breeders' Cup because it is our Super Bowl. It is our championship. It is our World Series. It is our anything you want to put on in any sports, the pinnacle, the championship. And so we give the rights of this to the TV network of NBC. And for several years, NBC treated it as it should be, our Super Bowl. But now we see the television schedule coming out this year on NBC, and all of their accompanied networks that our big race. Now, I know the Breeders' Cup is over 2 days and there's a lot of events, but our big race, our big Super Bowl type race is the Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, in the Breeders' Cup Classic on Saturday is the eighth race of 12 races on the card at Santa Anita. And there are four other stakes races, four other Breeders' Cup races that follow this race. And that schedule was put together all because NBC said they have to broadcast a college football game. And I love college football, you know that. But it's not the college championship game. It's just a college game, okay, that they're broadcasting. But our championship, our big race of our championship, has to be shoved in before it starts. Therefore, it isn't the pinnacle of the two-day championship races that we have. What say you?
It's a disgrace, Ralph. Listen, the Breeders' Cup builds up to the Breeders' Cup Classic. It's like playing the fourth quarter in the first quarter. It makes no sense. If NBC needs to do a football game, either move the time of the football game or don't broadcast on NBC. You can't do what they're doing. They're totally ruining the Breeders' Cup Classic. It builds up. Everyone knows it builds up to that race. It's the final race of the 2 days. It's the champions of champions. It's just a mess. It's a total mess. And shame on NBC and shame on the Breeders' Cup for allowing it to happen, really. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, you know, I think there's going to be an adjustment when the contract is renegotiated again. But for now, this is what they have to do. And Since the Breeders' Cup days, the two Breeders' Cup days are held in Del Mar, which is in the Pacific time zone, they already have to start the races early to accommodate the time zone
East Coast.
On the East Coast.
Right.
Now, you have the first race at Del Mar on Saturday, that Saturday, already going at 10:05 a.m. So if they're saying, well, you know, you can move your races up earlier, we'd be starting the first race right around 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, they have to just understand a little bit of it. That race goes. So the Breeders' Cup Classic is going to go at 2:41 Pacific time. Now, that'll be a 5:41 Eastern time, which is, palatable on the East Coast. But still, you'll have four big Breeders' Cup races after. And I'll say one thing. Those are good Breeders' Cup races. I mean, the Filly Mare Turf. The Filly Mare Sprint.
Yes, but it takes away from the Classic. It takes away. What is the football game they're showing, by the way, that's so important? It's not even like it's a championship or a playoff game, like you said. It's the middle of the season.
Well, that I don't know, to tell you the truth. I don't know what's going to
be. I'd be curious to find out.
But I will say one thing. If we don't know, then it must not be that important.
Exactly. I will tell you one thing about the Breeders' Cup, Ralph. There's going to be a race there that's just worth its, not often you'll say I'll pay to go watch a race, but Torpedo Anna and Idiomatic are going to throw it down. And that is going to be, I think, the best race in the 2 days. It certainly should pique the most interest. Everybody knows about these two horses. It's going to be a great race. Hopefully it's a race. It lives up to the hype, but I think that's going to be a race that you must see and really want to watch, because that should be a terrific, terrific race.
Now, if they did the races in sequence like that, the Breeders' Cup Distaff is the race that you're talking about for those two, would be the two races in front of the Breeders' Cup Classic. The Breeders' Cup Turf is always the one just before the Breeders' Cup Classic. And so that they do have that in that order. But like I said, there's four after the Breeders' Cup, the Filly Mare Turf, the...
Well, they have that race before the Classic? So what is it going to be, the third race?
Let me finish. They have...
Oh, I'm sorry.
They have the Filly Mare Turf afterwards. They have the Filly Mare Sprint. Then they have the Breeders' Cup Mile. And the Breeders' Cup Sprint is the last race. That's the pinnacle race on the schedule the way it looks that. Yes. The Breeders' Cup Distaff will be held before the Breeders' Cup Turf, and that one will be held just before the Breeders' Cup Classic. And because the Breeders' Cup Classic has to get on early, the Breeders' Cup Distaff is going to go at 1:21 p.m. Pacific time.
So the best races will be run early in the day. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
All I can say is the people who have will have immense interest in races after the Breeders' Cup Classic are the ones who still have action and have their pick fours, pick fives, and pick sixes going. But in any case, it's going to be a great day of racing no matter what. Each and every one of the races are going to be great. We know that. But in the concept of presentation, you present the biggest, the most, and by the way, the most expensive of all the Breeders' Cup races. That should be the climax. And that was disappointing to see. Anyhow, I know you wanted to talk about it, so I set you up for it. Anything else you want to?
No, that's it. I'm fine. Everything else is great. How about a winner for Keenan today?
I would like that. Let me ask you this. In looking at the first five races at Keeneland, you guys have your sheets out there and all that. But taking a look at those five races, how difficult do you think it's going to be, or how big a ticket do you think it's going to be comfortable in trying to hit this thing today?
Well, it's not easy. I mean, listen, a couple of the races are full fields. The second race, you have 12 horses. The fourth race, you have 12 horses. And those are wide. And the fifth race, you have 12 horses. Some of those races are wide open. Fifth race is a grass race. It's going to pay something. It's certainly not going to chalk out, that's for sure. Our radio play is going to come in the second race today. It's a maiden claiming event, Ralph. And I really like the number seven horse in here, River Ridge. Not Riva Ridge, but River Ridge. A three-year-old gelding from the Michael Campbell barn, Gavin Ashton aboard to ride. This is an improving horse. He's getting better with each start. He's faced better horses than he ran here today. His last race at Colonial Downs, that was a speed-favoring track. You could draw a line through it. Previous race is good enough. The price is right, 9-2 on the morning line. I like number seven, River Ridge, to win today's second race out at Keeneland.
All right, River Ridge is 9-2 on the morning line in that 12-horse, very competitive field. As a matter of fact, the morning line favorite in that race does break from the outside, Masked Man, and he's at 7-2, so you're pretty close to that, and it's going to be a wide-open scrum in that race. So you say you don't really have a feel for any horse that you could say, okay, I'm going to use this as a singleton to make the ticket bearable for most players out there.
Well, I'm going to make multiple tickets. So on one of my tickets, River Ridge will be a single.
Okay. All right. First race, eight horses. Your race has got 12 in it. And as you say, the third race only has seven horses in it. And there is a 6-5 shot in the third race, and Invulnerable. Trained by Joe Sharp and going to be ridden by Ired Ortiz Jr. if you want to take a shot there and try to get through that race. But that might be tricky too. And then, of course, the next race has a full field of 12. Actually, this fourth race has an also eligible, so there's 13. So that'll be a full field. And like you say, the fifth race, the final race in the early pick five, not only has 12 entered in the body of the race, but it also has four also eligible. So that'll be a full field too. So it's going to be fun, certainly on a Wednesday, to have something like that going early in the day.
Yeah, and it's early in the day, like you said. And it's not impossible. There are days when you think it's pretty hard, but it's not easy, and it's going to pay, Ralph. It's going to pay. And racing fans, like you said, get a special holiday today.
Well, and it's a good thing that it's not broadcast on NBC, because we certainly wouldn't want to preempt any of the soap operas, that are on that station today. So anyhow, thanks a lot. Jonathan. Well, you got a full sheet for Keeneland, by the way, right?
I do. JONHARDOON.com. Ralph, Monday, there's special racing at Santa Anita.
Yeah.
Do we have a show?
No, we won't have a show on Monday because there's Santa Anita's the only one that's having that special.
Someone sent me an email and asked me to ask you. I'm sorry for asking you on the air, but
no, no, that's okay. You asked me on the air, so everybody knows. That way, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no, okay. Not this Monday, not this holiday. We'll keep to our regular schedule. But you guys will have sheets, and I'm sure selections as well.
Absolutely. NYRA doesn't run, by the way.
Yeah.
California does.
I know. That's why we're not going to do it. There's only one in California. That's it. All right. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Thank you, Ralphie. Stay safe and be well.
You got it, my man. And coming up next, we're going to go to Rich Chang standing by. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you, buddy. There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star, and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting t2t.org.
Hello, I'm Dennis Quaid. For years, Tunnel to Towers has demonstrated a commitment to first responders and military families. They've paid off mortgages and built specially adapted smart homes. Now the foundation is expanding its mission to eradicate veteran homelessness. Please give our veterans a chance to reclaim their dignity by donating at t2t.org.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, bringing in Rich Yang now for this Wednesday show. Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, Richie, your thoughts about the Breeders' Cup having to shuffle their big race right in the middle of the card for Saturday's Breeders' Cup presentation?
Well, I've had the ability to work in television before, Ralph, when I worked for ABC Sports and ESPN. And I can tell you that I can remember during some of the broadcasts where we had a live event leading into us, sometimes the live event would just carry over and our hour turned into 40 minutes, our 30 minutes turned into 15 minutes. I remember one year we were doing the Traverse Stakes at Saratoga. The lead-in was the Little League World Series. And they went to extra innings and they ate up almost all the time for our broadcast. So, I mean, this is, 30 years ago. So it just tells you that television rules the roost, Ralph. So what they say dictates a lot of other sports, including horse racing.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And our chatters today are talking about that Little League World Series you're talking about that preempted that. Also, the fact that whatever football game is on, they say is going to get five times the rating as the Breeders' Cup. But I don't think that is, obviously it's a priority as far as business is concerned because of the money it makes. But when you're talking about trying to, and it's horse racing's fault, really. When you're talking about, the pinnacle of horse racing, like the Derby, like the Preakness, like the Belmont, the Breeders' Cup, should take precedent no matter what. But, it's because of what the horse racing industry has done. That has led us to being the second-class citizen on a lot of the sports broadcasts. But nevertheless, we do have places like FanDuel TV that they can watch now that they couldn't watch then when the Little League World Series went into the overtime. All right, Richie, you got a Keeneland sheet today, as you always do, and we've got, of course, big pick six, pick a five, early pick five carryover there at Keeneland. By the way, I wanted to ask you about the first coach fired in the NFL already this season.
I feel real bad for Robert Saleh because, I like to watch the NFL Network when they do the Hard Knocks series, and the Jets were on last year, and Saleh came across as really one of the nicest guys in the National Football League, really a great players coach. and seem to have a great relationship with the players and the other coaches. And to see him get fired, you know, sometimes things happen that are beyond your control, even when you're on the top of the heap. And the quarterback play that Sal has had to endure over the past 3.5 years has been, quite frankly, horrendous and would get any coach fired. So he'll land on his feet, Ralph, and now we'll see what happens. Aaron Rodgers is basically coaching the team for the rest of the season. It's all on Aaron's shoulder.
Well, I got to tell you, the maneuvers they made and the moves they made, and their defense was so good last year with Aaron Rodgers on the shelf, and then they get Aaron Rodgers back, and now they've got this season going on. And, you know, it's looking more and more like Aaron Rodgers is not going to be the answer there as well either. But in the meantime, you've got teams like the Washington Commanders coming from nowhere to be a pinnacle team this year.
Every year you see teams like Washington that come out of nowheres. People pick them to win, you know, 5, 6, maybe 7 games in the regular season. All of a sudden, you know, they have a big year. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind every season in the National Football League is, you know, you may have 12 teams that make the playoffs. Half of those teams don't make the playoffs the next season. They're replaced by 6 new teams. So it happens every year. It's a very consistent trend.
Well, we'll keep an eye on what's going on in the NFL and college football now with, you know, an expanded playoff system there. It'll be a lot of fun, that's for sure. And so will the Breeders' Cup, no matter where we watch it. We're going to be watching it here at the South Point live. So if you're thinking about it, folks, remember, get on out to the South Point. We'll have a good time here for Breeders' Cup in the big ballroom. All right, Richie, you got a Keeneland pick because you got a Keeneland sheet. So let's have it.
Yeah, the last pick I gave on Sunday, Ralph, finished first, but got disqualified.
I know, class. Yeah. Yeah,
4-1 was a square price. Sorry about that, folks. It couldn't be helped. Race 8 at Keeneland is 1 1/16 on the grass. I'm going to go for a horse that's going to be a single for me. And a late pick 5 is the number 1, Green Light. This horse that got beat by an inch at Saratoga last time out. And then the horse that beat Green Light won again to flatter this horse. That this horse had actually run at 2 stakes races before that Saratoga race. This horse looks really tough, Ralph. Let's go with the 1, Green Light, race 8.
All right, the number 1 horse in the 8th race at Keeneland, the final race on the card. It has an 8-race card today. So in the 8th race at Keeneland, number 1, Green Light, gets the green light from us. Hopefully the green light will win and don't run across any red lights along the way. So Green Light is number 1 in the 8th race at Keeneland. Rich Ang's pick. Don't forget, Rich has got a full sheet at Race Day Las Vegas. The RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. Richie, before I go, 2 quick things. 1, how about Paco Lopez getting his 4,000th career win on Sunday?
Paco's a heck of a jockey. And, you know, he's one of those guys that exacerbates not only bettors but other jockeys because of his tactics out there. But I tell you what, Ralph, if I'm betting $2, I want a guy who's going to push the envelope and try to win for me versus somebody else. So I never have a problem betting Paco. No. Congratulations.
No, he did a lot of those wins, of course, in New Jersey, where you were at for a long time, and myself there as well. And secondly, the horse that you did pick on at San Anita on Sunday got disqualified. Was it a legitimate DQ or not, in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, I bet the horse, Ralph. Obviously, I had a lot riding on the race in my pocket, but I didn't have a problem with the disqualification. You know, it's a bad beat. Happens a lot in sports and horses. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to turn the page.
I thought it was legit, too, and I also had some money on that as well. Thanks a lot, Richie. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with John Leto coming up and maybe even Jerry Jackowitz to give us a thought or two on more of his gambling philosophy. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
We're talking about the people who have put their lives on the line for this great country, the people who have lost and paid the greatest price for our freedom, for guys like me to be able to go sing songs about whatever I want to sing about every single night. And we're talking about an organization that helps support families and support the people that are running into the danger that the rest of us are running away from. And that's the kind of people I want to be beside. Those are the real heroes, man. I'm just a big fat guy with a guitar. Hey, y'all, this is Jelly Roll, and I am asking you to give $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is committed to honoring the dignity of the American service member and is committed to helping end homelessness amongst the veteran community and ensure no veteran is left behind. Providing a safe and dignified home is an imperative part of helping veterans who are homeless reclaim their lives. Donate $11 a month by calling 1-844-BRAVEST or visit t2t.org.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, a couple of quick things before we get to our last two handicappers, and that is, of course, we will be having a special Breeders' Cup show featuring the Breeders' Cup handicappers here on YouTube only. It's going to be on YouTube only, but it'll be on Wednesday this year and not the Thursday before. It'll be Breeders' Cup special. We're here only on the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube on Wednesday, October 30th at 4 o'clock Pacific time. Jonathan Hardoon, John Lindo, myself, and some surprise handicappers as well, but only on this YouTube. And also, I want to remind those of you out there that are watching us on YouTube, and certainly some of the chatters we're talking about on Chatbox, periodically YouTube will insert a commercial of their own over the show. We have no control over that. It's their prerogative when they do it, so we have no control over that. And it happens on all the shows that are on YouTube as well. So I wanted to remind you about that. John Lindo standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
All right, listen, you know, we talk a lot about horse racing, but something happened at Santa Anita on California Crown Day that crosses over into sports. You know, and when I read about this, I thought, what, are you kidding me? But one of the pitchers for the Dodgers, and I think his name is Walker Buehler, was robbed while attending the races at Santa Anita of his wristwatch that was valued at $10,000. And not only that, they say two other people on the day were also robbed at Santa Anita. It was like a snatch and grab for their watches. What's the deal?
Ralph, that was a $100,000 watch,
I'm
not
sorry.
A $10,000 watch.
Well, I, you know, yeah, no care. $100,000 watch. I apologize. That's right. I don't think in those terms for a wristwatch, but you're right, $100,000 watch.
Yeah, and Buehler started game three last night against the Padres, had no decision, but apparently there were a couple of groups of people that were kind of surrounding some of these people. They were targeting people who had some high-end merchandise with them, and I think there was two successful robberies and one that was thwarted, and you know, Walker Buehler was one of the victims. So, you know, you can advertise having the high-end celebrities there, but I guess some of the other stuff goes with it.
Like bodyguards, maybe? Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I guess what happened to him is all these guys surrounded him and started, you know, grabbing for him, and he thought they were fans. So, you know, he's trying to be nice to them, and in the meantime, somebody just slipped the watch off of his wrist, but I thought that was really something. All right, getting back to horse racing, you have a Linda report today for Keeneland. That early pick five is, you know, is going to be really something at Keeneland today. A quick look, really quick, at jockey trainers. What's going on there?
Yeah, after the first week, the names you expect to be on top are on top. Tyler Gaffaleon's the leading jock. He's got five winners, and he's one ahead of Jose Ortiz and Luis Saez. As far as the trainers, Brad Cox had four winners opening weekend, so he's the leading trainer. Cherie DeVoe had a good start, three winners there. And the only other people that won more than one race with two each were Chad Brown, Brendan Walsh, and Joe Sharp.
All right, so the usual suspects there at the top of the thing. And like I said, you have a full Lindner report, selections in all the races, suggested late pick four, and all that goody information, all on one comprehensive Lindner report. It's only in one place here, and your gaming capital is right here at the South Point in the race book, and it's free of charge to the players here because they love horse players here and the Lindner report. Well, John, we need a horse for Keeneland today.
Let's go to race number six, Ralph. In the sixth race today, number seven, Freaky, missed the break at Saratoga from the rail, ate a lot of dirt, and that was that. They kind of just took care of him down the lane. This horse works like he wants to run all day, and he's a big free-running horse. I think if Arad Ortiz can just pop him out of the gate, the lead is there for the taking here. I think if he can make the lead on the stretch out, he's just going to keep going. 8-1 on the morning line, you get Arad Ortiz for Todd Pletcher. That's not a bad deal. Number seven, Freaky, race number six at Keeneland.
All right, so if we miss the pick five, we get a chance to get our money back by betting in the sixth race, number seven, Freaky, the seven in the sixth race at Keeneland. Thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Ralph.
And,
good luck.
And don't forget to keep an eye on your watch, your wristwatch there.
I'll leave it at home next time I go to Santa Anita.
You got it. Thanks a lot. Let's
get out. Good luck.
Let's get out to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. I never know what Jerry wants to do on Wednesday, so I'm just going to say good morning. Jerry, what do you want to talk about?
I think I want to wear cheap watches from now on.
Yeah, huh?
Cheap watches with loose clasps.
Okay.
Make it easy on it. Take it.
What's on your mind
so,
today?
It's great that there's anything on my mind. I've been under the weather now for 2 weeks with mm-hmm. this virus or whatever it is.
Oh, my.
What's on my mind is betting horses and that everybody around you likes.
Okay.
Betting horses where there's a lot of confirmation. And I'll start off simple. It's a bad idea. When you have a good bet, there's something unique and imaginative that's happening in your head that you're getting from the racing form or from the collection of handicappers you use. And obviously, depending on how you handicap, you have to kind of figure this out. But it shouldn't be something that's so obvious that everybody likes, because those are the worst bets you can possibly make. They're just terrible. They're either big underlays and they win and they reward you not at all, or they just steal your money. Your money just goes down the tube. It should be a little bit subtle, a little bit hidden. And it should reflect in the odds price in some way. And so it should bring you away from the favorites into something. Instead of being at 5-2, you're on a 3. Instead of being at 8-5, you're on a 3-1 shot, et cetera, up the line. It's very important for your brain and your spirit and your knowledge of handicapping to be part of this process where you feel there's some uniqueness. I'll give you a good example. Once I was online, this goes years back when you had to stand online, you could hear everybody's bet. And I was going to bet the three horse in this race. And I was about three people from the cash ticket seller. And all I heard was number three, number three, number three, number three. And for whatever reason, I said, this is crazy. And I just walked away. And the number three horse went down the tubes. That was probably the first time that I actually really gave any thought to it. Later on, I came across a system called the no dot system. And what a guy did was he took all the newspaper handy selections and he put a dot next to anyone that had more than one selector selecting it. Mm-hmm. Eventually, from time to time, he'd end up with one horse that had no dots on it. Every other one had at least two guys. The no dot horse became his bet. Of course, these were ridiculous long shots. Huh? He bet this for a year and he made a lot of money.
Okay.
So there's the absurd proof of the truth, the absurd proof of the truth of betting away from the crowd. But it really speaks to something else. Horse racing is the reason it's a great game is it's imaginative.
All right, Jerry.
The reason it's hard is it's imaginative.
Right.
And those two Okay, those two concepts should be at the fore of every bit.
Okay. Well, that reminds me of a scene from Let It Ride in the movie. He was there saying, who do you like?
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, and that was, and at the end, he just bet the horse that nobody gave him.
Right.
All right, but you're going to give us one thing, and it's got to be quick. Go ahead and say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.